Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into what looks like just a tiny bit of text, right? A title, a tagline. But it's actually, well, it's a fascinating doorway into a huge cultural economy, easily billions of dollars. So if you're prepping for the year ahead in consumer trends, or maybe just want to quickly grasp how a really visible fashion segment markets itself, you're definitely in the right place. Okay, so the source material we have is super concise. Ravewear 2025. Festival fashion trends. And then there's this very specific subheading, what's new for festival goers this season? Short and sweet.
Yeah, but it's not just a title, is it? It's basically an entire marketing strategy packed into, what, 11 words? Our mission today is really to squeeze all the insight we can from this minimal text. We're not looking at like specific fabrics or colors today. Instead, we're analyzing the forces underneath, you know, the speed, the segmentation, the consumer pressure that are all kind of baked into this phrasing.
Exactly. Think of this deep dive as your shortcut to understanding those market forces. Why does this whole segment need to sort of reinvent itself so hard every single year? And what's this hyper-specific language telling us about who they're actually selling to? The goal is really understanding the mechanisms behind this explicit focus on 2025 trends. Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the really obvious bit. Ravewear 2025. I mean, the material shouts about the annual fashion cycle by nailing the guide to 2025. It's not general advice. It's already looking forward.
That year marker 2025 is really significant. If you're talking about classic fashion like denim or a certain cut of suit, the year often doesn't matter much, right? But the moment a consumer group needs a guide specifically labeled 2025, it just screams high turnover, planned turnover even. This kind of fashion feels engineered for, well, quick consumption, a shorter shelf life. The market isn't waiting for trends to bubble up naturally. No, it's announcing them every year.
Right. So needing this annual update, what does that signal about the economics here? Is it just high consumption or is there more to it?
It points to both, I think. High consumption, definitely, but also that planned obsolescence idea you touched on. The cycle is built to make you feel you need to upgrade. But what's fascinating here, I think, is the term ravewear itself. It's not just calling it festival clothes. Ravewear carves out a specific niche, often a highly functional one, within the bigger fashion world. So we have to look past just style. We need to analyze the implied functionality that's tied to being at a multi-day electronic music event.
Okay, functionality. So what specific needs does ravewear suggest that, say, summer clothes just wouldn't cover? That seems key.
It really shifts the focus from just fashion towards gear. Think about rave environments, big outdoor fields, packed clubs. They demand durability. They demand temperature control, maybe high visibility too. Those aesthetic things, the bright colors, reflective bits, UV reactive stuff, they aren't just for show. Often they're functional. They're about safety, signaling to your group, standing out when it's dark, community visibility.
So the source material is basically pitching an annual uniform update, one that's optimized for what? Survival and signaling in a pretty demanding setting. It implies special fabrics, maybe different construction, stuff that actively changes year to year, not just stays the same.
Precisely. If function is key, then the newness might come from material science, you know, technological advances, as much as from just how it looks. Maybe the 2025 version wicks sweat better, or the seams are tougher for dancing all night, for several nights. The annual update basically promises the consumer they're getting the latest optimization, whether that's tech or style, for that specific environment.
That focus on the specific experience, that leads us right to the target audience, doesn't it? The text explicitly calls out festival goers. That's a really, really segmented group. High value tied directly to the whole event economy.
Absolutely. The fashion reflects the environment, sure, but the environment really dictates the fashion needs. That headline again, what's new for festival goers this season? It implies the trends are prioritizing both the look and the practical needs of being at a festival.
Okay, so thinking about a festival goer, someone at a multi-day intense event, what kind of practical logistical problems does this clothing need to solve beyond just looking the part?
Yeah, the clothing almost becomes like tactical gear. Mm-hmm. Think about storage. You need secure pockets, phones, wallets, tickets, often built into vests or utility belts, things you wouldn't wear day to day. You need layers you can easily pack away for when it gets cold at night after being hot all day. And for a multi-day thing, pieces need to be packable, durable, handle maybe bad weather. The fashion is really a form of preparation.
And crucially, it's about fitting in, right? Mm-hmm. Belonging. When you wear a very specific, seasonally updated uniform, what message does that send to everyone else there?
It's instant communication, nonverbal. It says, I'm prepared, I'm part of this culture, and maybe most importantly, I'm current. By wearing the Rave Wear 2025 stuff, you instantly signal to this temporary community, I get the code, I'm participating this season. It helps you integrate quickly into that whole dynamic, which is a huge part of these events.
It sounds like the clothes become almost a ticket to entry for smooth social interaction there, not just an optional extra.
That's a really good way to put it. The pressure to get the right gear kind of turns fashion choice into cultural buy-in. And if the goal is seamless participation, then that little phrase, this season, right there in the subheading, it becomes an urgency button. You don't want last year's stuff. You want the current approved playbook for fitting in right now.
Right. Let's zero in on that urgency driver, the keyword new. The source promises an update on what's new. This guarantee of constant evolution, that's what fuels the whole cycle we're talking about.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the marketing appeal of new kind of weaponizes that cultural anxiety, doesn't it? It's the fear of missing out or the fear of looking dated, showing up in last season's look, or even worse, being practically unprepared for the event itself. This urgency drives sales, reinforces the idea that real participation means you need the latest Rave Wear 2025 style.
So the promise of new has a double function. It offers practical solutions, maybe better gear for the user, but it's also a tool for brand control and keeping the market moving.
Absolutely. The fashion market, especially in fast cycles like this, it thrives on making last year's style feel culturally, well, obsolete. By focusing only on what's new, the guide conveniently ignores whatever the consumer bought last year. It pushes them to buy again to keep their status. And that dynamic is incredibly profitable because the fashion cycle lines up perfectly with the annual festival calendar.
But this implies a level of trust, doesn't it? The audience has to believe that these new trends the guide pushes are genuinely necessary or at least culturally expected for the upcoming year.
Precisely. And that's the job of an explicit trend guide like this. It offers a kind of professional directive. It says, look, if you want to be ready for the Festival of Fashion Trends, we've picked out the updates for this year. You don't have to guess. So the source material, just through its title and tagline, frames successful participation as depending on knowing and adopting the current fashion directive.
Okay, so what does this all mean? If we boil down our analysis of just these few words, we see a clear expectation being set. This is going to be a highly specialized, fast-moving breakdown of seasonal gear. Trends aimed squarely at festival attendees, people who need the most current, functional uniform specifically for 2025.
And setting that expectation really confirms how mature this market has become. The fact that you even need a dedicated annual specialized guide for Rave Wear 2025. It tells us festival fashion isn't just some fringe thing borrowing from streetwear anymore. No, it's its own solid self-powering sector. It has its own calendar, its own specific functional demands, and really powerful drivers pushing consumption. It's professionalized cultural capital, essentially.
So the takeaway for you listening, the next time you see a piece about fashion trends, look past the clothes themselves. Analyze the language being used in the marketing. It tells you so much about the speed, the real needs, and the pressures driving that whole product cycle. Thanks for diving deep into the language of market segmentation with us today.
Yeah, and building on that tension, we've discussed, you know, the tension between specialized needs and hyper-fast commerce. Here's something to chew on. Given this rapid change, this need for annual Rave Wear 2025 updates, does constantly chasing what's new actually support the original anti-establishment vibe often linked to rave culture's roots?
No.
Or does it fundamentally undermine it? It definitely raises a fascinating question about, well, the price of playing the game, the price of cultural participation when everything is so hyper-commercialized.